Amen. Are we excited to hear the Word of God? I am excited to bring the Word of God. It's amazing what God does, how God deals with you, and how God brings the Word to you, and you think, right, okay, is it for me or is it for the church I need to bring? But then you bring it with experience, and then there is power. And if I bring it with the knowledge or the heads don't connect. It's only the hearts that connect. So when I'm bringing it from my experience and from my heart that God has laid on my heart to bring this. And this morning we will be looking at a story which we have already learned in Sunday school, which we have must have really, really known, a very familiar story. But God laid that on my heart for last couple of weeks, even before, just after I preached last time here. And then I have been meditating on it, and God opened a few things for us as an individual and as a church as well. So that's what I would like to bring. If the monitors do not work, please leave it so that we are not in here being disturbed. But yes, thank you very much for making it work. This morning, yes, we'll be looking at a story. And this story is very familiar, but God has laid it to bring it to you again. And in this part, what we are looking at is, you are more than this. You and I are more than where we are right now. You and I are more than where we think we should be. Or we are more than what we think we are. You are more than this. And let's say it together to say, I am more than this. I am more than this. Because God has a plan and a purpose. And God wanted us to be in the place where He wants us to be. I just want to remember a couple of verses which we are very, very familiar with. And from there on, we will go what I'm talking about, and we will see what where God leads us. And we ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us through this. Jeremiah 29 and 11. I would like you to look at the Bible if you have, or if the verses can come up. Jeremiah 29, 11. This is a very familiar verse where everybody reads it out and declares in their lives as well. What does that say? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And this we must have declared on our lives. We must have declared it on our children's lives. We must have declared this on our families numerous times. And especially it comes in either at Christmas, at New Year's Eve or beginning of New Year, we declare this as well to say, you know what? God declares and He says, I have a plan for my life. And you declare it and you think about it and you really talk about to say, you know what? God has got it. And I know He has a plan for my life. That's great, isn't it? Right. And the next verse, if we look at it, we'll come back to it again. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. And we'll be thinking about, you know, God has a plan for my life. I know this. But when did God has a plan for my life? And you'll be saying that. Ephesians 1, 4. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And then you can carry on as well. So He chose us even before the foundations of the earth were laid. And He knew me, in Psalms you can look at it and say, He knew me when I was wonderfully and carefully made in my mother's womb. And these verses we know, and we declare and talk about them. And when the circumstances and situations change, how do they reflect in your life? And you one day you declare, God has a plan for my life. And the other day you are feeling down, depressed, disappointed. And the next day you will feel, you know what? He has chosen me even before the foundations of the world. And the other day you have been persecuted, or you are going in a very low mood because of the work situation that is happening, or somebody said something, or some past, or something which has been in the past is bothering you. And you say, he has chosen me. And you are going through pain, and your children cause trouble, and to say, and you wanted your children to be in the presence of the Lord, but they are against it and going away from it. And how do you declare to say, you know what? He has chosen me. Even before the foundations of the world. And you will be questioning. And then you will be coming back and declaring. But I would like to look at a story. Somebody who knew. And I want to see what I am talking about here is what we see ourselves to know and to really trust God for what he has done is not where we are now. We are much more than this. I am much more than this. And this is where I would like to bring in his presence and in his will and in his plan. We will be looking at a story from Joshua chapter 2. Very familiar story. Joshua chapter 2. Starting from verse 2. Let's start from the beginning. Joshua chapter 2. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search our country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened, as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. This is a very familiar story, Rahab and the two spies. And yes, Joshua was part of spying the Canaan when Moses sent it. Now, Joshua sends two men specially to look at Jericho. And these two men enter the city, and now they meet this woman, Rahab. She is harlot. Maybe we can say in other words, she is a prostitute and she could be an innkeeper as well. And as the word of God in the commentaries, it says, why this man, the children of Israel, going to a prostitute or an innkeeper there in that situation? I just want to look at this area and think, you know what? Rahab in Jericho. Rahab by the city wall. Rahab hiding the two spies. I just want to look at that story, what is happening, and how she is part of a big picture. This is where I want to bring to you today as well. We are not isolating a story where it is written as Rahab helped two spies and that's finished. What happens to the later life of her is even amazing. That's where I would like to bring your attention to today. Yes, God has saved us by his grace, shedding his blood on that cross. Is that us done? Or are we part of the big picture of where God wants us to be? In the big picture of what God wants us to be, or where Rahab is part of the big picture of God's plan. The national leader the other day has spoken it. I know a man, and the man has a plan. And he says that, okay, you know what? I know God, Jesus, who has a plan for my life. If we know that, and if we know that he has a plan for our life, what is it? And how does our plan, our life, fit into the big picture of God's story and the big picture of God's love story, and what is our part in it? So in here, Rahab has been there. She is a prostitute, and even whenever we look at it, even when she is mentioned in Hebrew, still it comes as Rahab the prostitute. And she's mentioned, so maybe she has given up before these two spies came, or what happened, and later on if she has given up. But we will look into the story carefully. But here the situation is, these people in Jericho, the king and the soldiers and the army knew about the Israelites, and these children of God are going to conquer them, and they are going to take over, because they also knew already they have taken over the kings of Amalekites, and they have defeated them with the strong armies. So they are hearing about God, how wonderful, amazing, and powerful God these Israelites have. And we do serve the same God today. We do serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who was there then the same, and even today the same. We serve the same God who was God of Israel, and we are serving the same God today. The God who brought down the walls of Jericho then, we are serving the same God today. But then here now, they are hearing the stories, the kings and the army, the people here in Jericho who are strong warriors. They have the city wall, they are rich, and they're knowing all that. They are still fearing when they hear the name of God. What does it say? Or where does it say they are fearing? If we look into the story, let's look into the story a little bit lower. Now we can come back to into it as well. Right. We are on Joshua chapter 2 and verses number 9. And let's see number verse 8. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof, because Rahab hid them on the roof under the flax, and she lied to the men of the king. She lied saying, yes, the men came, but I don't know where they were from. And I don't know where they went. It was dark when they left. So here whom we are talking about, a Canaanite woman who was a prostitute, who lied to the king's army, and with whom we can be considered her to be a traitor for her people. And all this. But at the same time, when she comes to the two spies, what does she say? Verse 9, and this Rahab and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. She admits, right, now we look at it, if people from Scotland came to England, you will know they are from Scotland. If people from North came, you will know they are from North. if a Londoner goes out, you know, with their accent and slang and the words they use, now it's I'm getting outdated. I said to one of my sons, saying, as soon as they came from the school, I said, "What's up, mate?" And he goes, "Daddy, that's outgone now. And you don't do it anymore." And I was like, okay, so that's trying something that I know here. And it's something different, Daddy, now. And they tell me and they teach me, but I'm too backward for them now. But when you know them, when you see how they speak or the dressing or the language, you can recognize where they are from. So the king was told the spies entered into the land. So when you know it, how did the king come to know? There might be other theories on how the king came to know about it. But we can say when a stranger comes in, it's a place where commerce takes place. So many people come in and go out because of a rich place there. The market happens there. But somehow these people came to know and they told the king, you know what? The people of Israel are in the town, in the city. And this Rahab hid them. And there is no conversation before of who they were or introduction or anything. She hid them. And after hiding, when she lied to the king's men, goes back to these two men and says, "I know who you are. I know that your Lord has given you the land." What a faith for a woman who just heard about God, who didn't see the miracles. She wasn't part when the Israelites were coming out of the split Red Sea. She hasn't seen the water coming through the rock, or she hasn't seen the cloud of protection, the fire during the night or during the day. But she said, "The Lord has given you this land." The woman of faith, knowing just by the stories of what has happened. And she says that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of Amorites who were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. What she heard was the stories about what God has done for his people. At the same time, let the people who cause you trouble, the enemy who is causing you trouble, knowing what God has done to you, should fear the name of the Lord. As she says here, now our hearts have melted. All we have in these inhabitants of the whole land is only fear because of what God has done for you. And we, in each and every one of our lives, we have our testimonies to say. We have these stories where you have gone through the Red Sea and God has split that Red Sea for you to come out of the other side. Where God has helped you where you thought, this is the end. I can't find any way out from the situation I am in. I can't find any situation that I lead me out of this. God made a way for you and me. When everywhere we thought, this is the end, then God made a way and brought a new hope for us. And they heard this woman talks about, it's not only here because she has been a prostitute and she has been an innkeeper. So people going around, she heard, now all of our people are in fear because of you. And that is the reason she took risk. She took the risk of being a traitor and lying to the king. If the king came to know, what would have happened? If the king came to know that Rahab had lied, her life is put to end. The penalty is the death. But what she feared is not the circumstances around her, what may happen to her, but what she feared more is the God who she heard about. She feared the Lord who made things happen for his people. That's where her faith was, and that's where she feared about. In our situations, may there be the situations when it comes in our lives. You know what? This is going to happen. This is going to go wrong if I don't act. But you know what? When God is on our side, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? We speak those. And now, Rahab, where she hid these two men and they led them out, she took a promise. She took a promise that I have shown you kindness. Can I ask you the same? That when you take over, she knew exactly what was going to happen. When you take over this land, can you spare my father's house? Can you spare my family? And when we talk about what God gives you the verse, as I read the first one, for I know the plans I have for you. I think nobody can knew better than what Rahab knew, because she knew the plans she has, that God has for her life. That's where she took the risk of lying to the king's men. She took the risk of saying, you know what? Even if the kings come to know, I know my life will be at risk. But this God of these people whom they are serving is bigger, mightier than the kings here. That's the God we serve. And to say, my God can do the same things for me today. So this here, she is in the picture. She knew the bigger picture of God wants. What God wants for her life. Let's look at even further. I've got a lot to go, but I'll cut it down and see where we can get to as quickly as we can. Right. Verse 16. Let's start from verse 15. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. Please remember, where was her house? On the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. So she was living on the wall. I'll come back to it again. And she said to them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way. So the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear. And she asked everything above to come in. Then verse 22, they departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain and crossed over, and they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, "Truly, the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed, all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us." These two men, what are they repeating? The words of Rahab, a prostitute, and saying, believing to say, they are faint-hearted. They have terror in their heart. They are afraid. God has given us the land. And to see at the same time, these two men followed what Rahab told them. She told them, right, I'll let you down from the wall through the rope. You go to these hills and you stay there for 3 days. Once the pursuers have gone, you can go back to your place. That is what we see here. And that's the story. And then when we come back, we know what happens. You know what? The story tells us about when the Israelites came, when they were going around these walls, praising, singing, and on the seventh day, the walls came down. Where was Rahab living? She was living on the wall. And the walls came down. Right, let me see you a context of what is happening here and what has happened to these people. If you think we are in a wrong place at the wrong time, think again. Let me tell you, you are at the right place at the right time. And God places people for where they should be, for the benefit of his people. God places people in certain places to help his people. Let's look at it. Rahab, why couldn't she be anywhere else but on the wall? And when you look at the history and geography of this Jericho, where the hills she was talking about, this Rahab was living on the city wall, which was few or close to the hills, where they could quickly run and hide in those hills. This is on the northern side of the walls we are talking about, the northern side of the city. And archaeologists found out that, yes, the walls have come down. And also you can see very clearly when you read the story, when the walls came down, they became flat so that the Israelites went up the wall. So when we are looking at it, what I am trying to bring it here, God places somebody in Jericho and he sends these two Israelites to this woman who was a prostitute and innkeeper. And of course, accidentally, she happens to be living on the city wall. And then so that when she drops down the rope, they can escape. Is that the part of God's plan for the people when we look at the big picture? There is no accidents and coincidence in God's story. And if we are thinking we are at the wrong place at the wrong time, maybe those spies were thinking the same. Are we now caught? Are we at the wrong place at the wrong time? But God places people in certain positions for your help. I wasn't prepared to share this, but I wouldn't mention the names. But I would also say, many of you know that Ravali is going through a surgery soon. Her pre-op appointment is on 19th. And people raised questions saying, how did she get an operation appointment before she goes to pre-op? The operation date comes after you go to pre-op assessment. But if God places somebody to take care of those things and do the things around, is it impossible for our God? Nothing is impossible. Out of the natural, yes, that's how it should happen, that she should go to the pre-op, then get the assessment done. Depending on that, She has to go for surgery in later. But she's got the surgery date as well. So God has placed people who can help in those situations to become out of ordinary. This is the God we serve who is extraordinary, who is supernatural. By the thinking of a man or logical thinking of a human being, and as we have been singing the song to say, I do not understand, but still I trust in you. And this is what this woman did, Rahab. She did not probably understand, but she knew this God whom these Israelites are serving, he is mighty God. He is able to save me. I know he is able. So this is where I am helping these people in here. And she became the part of a big picture to save the whole nation. What made about us talking about Rahab if she wasn't in that picture on the city wall? It's because God placed her where she has to be. People might not think of you, theologians have a different idea, but I don't have to understand everything. But what I do have to do is to trust in my Lord, who is capable of doing supernatural things. And he is able and he does them for me. And now, this woman placed there on the city wall. There are two walls. I mean, I had a picture of showing that how it is laid or how it is done. Where she is, probably a slum area, because the inner wall, which is for the city and rich people live, and the outside the wall is like a poor people or a slum area where she is living. And her house is built in the wall. Can you imagine that? And that they chose to be in that place. Easy to escape. Easy to escape. Let me tell you, I believe it completely, where God has planned. You know why? I hid in a place where God has put a small hut for us. We don't know if it existed before or after, but it protected me and Ravali for the night. We were chased by 15 men or more to be killed if I was caught. But a small hut, which is meant for storing grains or seeds, actually. And we were there to spend a night to protect, to save ourselves, to save our lives. Let me tell you, that story is known. And that story is real. Those God made those men to be there. A couple who helped us to say, you stay inside this hut. And when somebody asked them, have you seen a couple running? They answered, can't you see? We are old. We didn't see anything. God protected us. And if I could say this story that happened in Rahab's life and protecting those two spies, today I am standing with the same story or a similar story to say, God protected me those 14 years ago and I am standing here. That story which God protected, that small hut, became part of a big picture of God's plan in my life. And to be standing and sharing and to say, you know what, my God is able. He can protect us, keep us for his plan and for his purpose to be fulfilled in each and everyone's life. You may have those stories where you might have hidden for a couple of days. God has protected you. Today we have been reading Psalm 121. He preserves you. You are outgoing and you are incoming. He keeps you from all the evil and he preserves you forever and ever. Forevermore. And we are looking at it. And Rahab's story did not finish there. What happens in Hebrews chapter 11, we see who are there in that. All the heroes of faith. We have all the heroes of faith in there, Abraham, and we do see those Enoch and those people. And amidst of those all heroes, there mentioned a prostitute's name, Rahab, who is a heroine. From a harlot, she became a heroine in the sight of the Lord, saying, you know what, because of the faith, she said, she proclaimed her faith. I know your Lord, who has been God, who is heaven and above, and God of the earth and below. She declared and she confessed with her mouth to say, I know you are Lord God, who is God of heaven above and the earth below. She knew it exactly. And today we are serving the same Lord here. And that's where she has been put into that chapter along with those heroes of faith. That did not end there. One of the spies, which is believed to be Salma or Salmon. And after the settlement, one of the spies, Salmon, goes and marries Rahab. And Rahab and Salmon gives birth to a son called Boaz. Who is Boaz? Who delivered? And when you look at down, this Salmon comes from the tribe of Judah. And three generations down the line, you see Jesse. Who is Jesse's son? David. Hey, the story starts. When God's put you in a purpose there, it's not the end that has happened. And there is a big picture, and Rahab becomes the great, great, great mother of the King David, whom we talk about. That's not the end. Messiah who comes, he comes in the lineage of King David. So Rahab is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Wow. Amazing story, yes? She's not just a prostitute there, just helping those two spies there. But now we are talking about the ancestor of King of Kings, Jesus Christ. That's the big picture we see. That's where God wants us to be in our picture. Yes, for now, at that time, when we are talking about Rahab, we are talking about a prostitute being placed on a city of the wall of the city. And now that she is helping those two spies to come out, and that's where it is finished. But no, the story continues. Let your story continue. Don't stop your story where you are. You are more than this. Let the legend continue. Let the legacy continue. You have a legacy in Jesus Christ. Through faith, she declared that the God is the God of heaven above and the earth below. And she is saved and she is now being in that heroes of faith because of her faith she did. Today, you and I are sons and daughters of King of Kings. By the finished work of Jesus Christ on that cross, as Uncle Keith prayed this morning. Through the blood of Jesus, we are part of that big picture. We are part of that big picture through his blood, that what he has shed on that cross. Let's not stop our legacy here. I am carrying the legacy of my dad, who served, and he still continued. And I'm here today for what he has done. Still talking about them, what they have been doing. And for you today, you are more than this. If God could place Rahab on the city wall for two spies to be saved, protected, and kept, he placed you in Hemel Hempstead to intercede for this town, to protect this town, to save this town. You are not here just to be for yourself where you are. God has called you for a bigger purpose. This church is for a bigger purpose. We are called as a church to do more than what we are today. He is calling for us to be saving this Hemel Hempstead and declaring the word of God. Let the people see and know that, yes, I know you are God, is God of heaven above and the earth below. Yes, we know your God is mighty. That's what people of Hemel Hempstead should know. That's what people of this nation should know. And turning back to God and say, yes, Lord, we turned away from you. If you could save, and if you could consider the faith of that prostitute, liar, and traitor, and put her in a righteous place because of our faith, we are turning back to you, Jesus. We come back to you. You have. You can forgive us too. You can forgive our sins too, and make us and place us in the position and the place where you want us to be. He has placed us already in his lineage by his blood, making us to be his sons and daughters through the blood and making us the righteous people. Isn't it a great story? Isn't it a great picture to see? Where are you in this big picture? What is your purpose down the line in three generations to say, there was David? In few generations to say, there was Jesus. Can we sow the seed for now so that the generations to come will benefit from it? The generations to come will know, yes, our ancestors, our forefathers have served the Lord faithfully and left a legacy for us to carry on. Let we be the part of that big picture. We are more than this. God bless you.